Welcome to the Devin Nunes Podcast. Breaking through the political noise, separating fact from fiction. From the San Joaquin Valley, the breadbasket of the solar system. Here is your host, Devin Nunes.
Devin Nunes back again on the podcast. Thank you again for listening. Last week, we heard from Dr. Epstein, who is a psychologist whose expertise is in an area of looking at what I call the tech oligarchs, the big companies that control the internet. He's done a significant amount of work on Google. We learned last week that to use start.com, that's a search engine that does not track
start
you.
Page.
Startpage.com. Dr. Epstein, welcome back. And last week we talked about Google and all your challenges with Google. Before we get into the solutions that might be out there, because I know the solutions are not easy, but have you looked at, I know you've looked at some of the other search engines, but what about some of the other tech companies, like say Facebook or Twitter, that are the big giants out there? Have you seen any type of activity that concerns you, or are you doing any research on those companies?
I have looked at Facebook, and we're doing research now that's relevant to Twitter. And I'm extremely concerned because the surveillance business model that Google invented is now spreading literally to thousands of companies. So even Verizon now is very, very aggressively engaging in surveillance and is finding ways to monetize all the information it collects about us. With Twitter, there's a problem with what's called shadow banning. So my good friend Ann Coulter, and again, I'm not a conservative, and some people would say that she is, but the point is Ann has been quite concerned about shadow banning. That means you've got a lot of followers, you send out a tweet, and in fact, only some of your followers receive your tweet. Well, I've found a way now to measure that very precisely. So I'm studying lots of effects now. I'm studying nearly a dozen. And studying them and quantifying them and figuring out how to monitor them in real time. And I've done two big election monitoring projects, but I'm hoping in 2020 to do a very large-scale project and really to be able to catch these companies, Facebook, Twitter, Google, whoever it might be, to catch them in real time, I mean literally day of, when they're using shenanigans to shift votes. I now have developed the technology necessary to do large-scale monitoring. So at the moment, I'm just trying to raise a lot of money that's needed to scale up the systems that we've built already. There's a lot going on. It's not just Google. Google is the biggest threat. I have to be clear on that. By far, they are the biggest threat. But Facebook has
ways of that's because I think you said the number last week, which is how many searches go through Google?
Well, at this point, it's percentage. They're up in the trillions, but
percentage. I'm sorry. Percentage.
But it's 92% of all searches done on Google. The next most popular search engine, Bing, handles about 2.5%. Wow. And after that, the other search engines have less than 1%. So they don't really have any impact on elections or people's thinking. Google is the beast. Mm-hmm. Okay, that's Google is the beast. These other companies are also threats, most definitely, because they're completely unregulated, and they have agendas, and they use the powers they have to promote their agendas, not just to make money, but literally to shift people's values and thinking. That's extremely dangerous. It should not be allowed.
Right. So you mentioned that they gather this data. They're doing surveillance on us every time somebody goes in and types something in, and then they're building a whole record off of your IP address, right, and whatever your device is. How do they monetize that? Do you have some examples of they gather all that data? Who's buying that data? How do they sell that data?
Well, there are now data brokers who are handling this data around the world. Data brokering is one of the biggest and fastest growing businesses there is in the world. So that when you are posting photos or just information about yourself on Facebook, or when you're tweeting, or even when you're clicking that you like something, all that information is collected, analyzed, stored, sold, shared. It's shared with other companies. It is shared sometimes with government agencies, not just in the U.S., but government agencies around the world. And the uses for these data, you know, in other words, the ways to monetize it keep growing and growing. One of the main ways it's being used, which I find very scary because I have 5 kids and I don't want this kind of thing happening, these data are being used more and more to build predictive models. So they're basically AI versions of all of us that have been created by these big companies, and those models are used to predict what we're going to do next, where we're going to go next, what we're going to buy next, so that these companies basically then hook us up with advertisers to try to anticipate and fulfill our every need. But again, we're talking about predictive models that know us better than we know ourselves. That's the scariest way, in my opinion.
And they lead you to buy something.
Yeah, this is not a small amount of data that's being collected. So if you're let's say in middle age, say you're in your 40s or so or 50s, Google now has the equivalent of about 3 million word pages of information about you. You're just providing a little trickle of information every day, but it adds up.
You're starting to scare the hell out of me. So, okay. So what, so probably just to get people more scared. So if they wanted to say, take, the city of San Diego, where you live, and if, say, a foreign adversary, say China, a company in China, wanted to come in and say, look, we want all the data. We want to buy all the data on every household within the city of San Diego. Can they do that?
And what would be available? Cambridge Analytica in 2016, that's pretty much what they did. Cambridge Analytica never collected any data. They just used data brokers to get more than 5,000 pieces of information on every single voter in the United States. They just purchased it from data brokers. So, yes, absolutely. If you've got the money, you don't have to collect any data. You can buy it. You can buy any data on anyone. Period. There's so much data out there because people don't even realize how they're being surveilled. I mean, it was revealed recently that the Nest smart thermostat, which that company is now owned by Google, that has a built-in camera and microphone. Now, people are unaware of that their smart thermostat is literally tracking them. And devices like the Google Home device, the Google Assistant, which is on Android phones, and even Amazon Alexa, those devices are recording 24/7. They never stop recording. We've documented this, and there are other organizations out there that have also documented this, but we've also figured out some of the details about how it's done and what it's recording. Google recently had patents issued on ways for analyzing sound that their devices are tracking in your home, so they can tell whether your kids are brushing their teeth enough or whether there's too much arguing going on, so they can sell you counseling services, or whether your sex life is good. I mean, literally patents on how to interpret sound in people's home, which can tell you pretty much everything about people 24/7.
Wow. So what are the solutions out there, and are there any? Because, you know, as a conservative, I mean, one of the last things that I want to do is go in and break up a company or regulate a company. I mean, I think that discourages innovation. But at the same time, in order to protect our First Amendment rights as citizens of this country, we can't be manipulated like this. A public square has to be a fair public square where one can go into there and say, you know, I'm for gun control, or I'm not for gun control. I mean, we need that to be fair, not where I'm being infiltrated by, you know, these tech companies. Is there any solution in sight at this point?
There are some things that can be done. But, you know, I've been on Tucker Carlson's show a few times.
Yes, I've seen you on there.
And here's how he summed it up one of the times I was on his show. What he said was, the Democrats don't want to do anything because these companies are helping Democrats. Of course, I sympathize with that, but that's irrelevant here. And he said the Republicans don't want to do anything because they don't like regulation. So we're kind of, in the U.S., we're kind of stuck.
Uh-huh.
It's not that nothing can be done, but we're just kind of stuck here because of our politics. The EU is being very aggressive. So they've already fined Google more than $8 billion over the last just 2.5 years or so. The EU has already voted in a non-binding vote by the European Parliament. They've already voted to break Google up into pieces. So EU is being aggressive. I think a lot more is going to happen there. They're taking on both Google and Facebook. In the U.S., well, Facebook is about to be fined by the Federal Trade Commission, possibly maybe $5 billion fine. That's on the table, and that's for their failure to protect user data. Here and there, little things are happening. Now, these companies can brush off these fines, so that's not a solution to the big problems.
Right.
But, you know, yeah, there are some solutions on the table. Meanwhile, let me just point out that we as individuals can protect ourselves and our families in a number of ways. I have an article out there on the internet that's very easy to find called Seven Simple Steps Toward Online Privacy. Seven Simple Steps Toward Online Privacy.
Where is that at?
And well, it's easy to find. If you just don't use Google. You should never use Google.com. But if you use something else like DuckDuckGo or StartPage is my favorite, StartPage.com. And just type in seven simple steps and the name Epstein. You'll find it instantly. And you'll find there are some things you can do. You don't have to use Google.com, which is a surveillance tool. You can use alternatives. You should never use Gmail. Gmail is a surveillance tool. You should never use Chrome. That's a surveillance tool. You should never use Android. That's a surveillance tool. These are just surveillance platforms. They're just gussied up surveillance platforms that trick you into revealing information about yourself, and you don't need to. There are other ways you can use the internet to preserve your privacy. So, you know, it has to start at home. We have to learn more savvy ways of using the internet, and then we are going to need government to step in. I mean, I know that's it's tough to think about that possibility if you're anti-regulation, but this is one of those odd situations where government has to step in because there's too much at stake. I mean, literally right now, if these big tech companies all gang up in favor of the same candidate, which they'll certainly do in 2020, they can shift about 10% of the votes in the U.S. without anyone knowing that they've done so and without leaving a paper trail. That's a lot of votes.
It is. Well, Dr. Epstein, I think you are you give some really good advice. And so if people want to find more out about your work, where do they go?
They can go to my personal website, drrobertepstein.com, or to aibrt.org. Or they can actually, if they want to support my work, they can go to mygoogleresearch.com. Mygoogleresearch.com, that'll take you directly to a place where you can get access to lots of articles I've written on this topic.
So last question, what happens if I Google mygoogleresearch.com on Google? Do they block you?
You know, honestly, it depends on the day because sometimes they suppress my work, sometimes they don't. I have no idea, you know, what those meetings are like at the company, but you know, literally they have the power. They have that censorship power. They can censor anyone, any cause, any company that they like, and there's nothing you can do about it. The court decisions have favored them every single time. There's nothing you can do. If they want to erase you from the earth, they can erase you from the earth.
Dr. Epstein, this is fascinating work that you're doing. I am anxious to see your continued work. I'm very concerned about this situation here in the United States, about just the manipulation of intelligence, really for political purposes, by essentially private companies who control everything. I mean, I always say that there's not even a way, even if we went out and raised billions of dollars of venture capital. We can't build a new Facebook or a new Twitter or a new Google because they own all the patents. So Dr. Epstein, thank you so much. When you get some more work, I would love to have you back on again.
Well, thank you, Congressman. It's an honor, and I really appreciate your taking an interest in these topics. They're extremely important for all of us, no matter what our party.
I really appreciate it, Dr. Epstein. This is Devin Nunes. Until next time, we'll catch you next week.
Thanks for listening to the Devin Nunes Podcast. We invite you to subscribe so you don't miss a single episode. And remember, you can download this podcast on iTunes or at devinnunes.com.
Storm clouds been gathering so long, I don't know.
The darkness around us leaves no easy road.
We started wondering if every road dead ends our dreams. Wind whips the dust up and rain's pouring down.
Good people struggling in every hometown.
We started wondering if we even matter at all. Trial by fire like this.
It's nothing hard work and family can fix.
We've got the power to save it all here in our hands. We'll take that hard road to happier days. Cause we kept our American faith. We're already half the way there. We'll take that hard road to happier days. Cause we've kept our American faith.
Paid for by Devin Nunes Campaign Committee.